Welcome, everyone, to episode 110 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Zaporik, and it is officially Woj Bomb season. We were not planning on recording tonight, but Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN broke the news that the Los Angeles Clippers have traded Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons. So we will break that down from both sides of the equation. Before we get underway, wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. You can find our Twitter bio or our Twitter handles in our bio, so please give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FRS Hoops with a Z. Joining me today, as always, is my very sleepy co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
Brian, it's 2 a.m.
We would have recorded this an hour ago, but I literally just got off a plane from Philly to Nashville, got home. I got off the plane, and my friend Dave, who is a big Warriors fan, texted me and said, "What the hell are the Clippers doing?" And I thought, oh no, they traded DeAndre Jordan. And then I checked I checked the Bleacher Report app, I'm going to shamelessly plug that, and I saw, boom, they traded Blake Griffin. So...
If you would have had Twitter as an app on your phone, which we don't, I'm pretty sure that disqualifies you from being like on NBA Twitter. You should have that on your phone.
I do, but I needed like the quick, like I needed the immediate "what the hell just happened," and then searched Twitter and saw everyone freaking out. So let's just dive right in. More. Let's start with the Clippers side. Right. So they traded Blake Griffin is the big piece. They also traded Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed to Detroit. In return, they will receive Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban, and a first and second round draft pick. Right. Protections on the pick include 1 through 4 in 2018, 19, and 2020, and unprotected in 2021.
That's correct.
The first thing I thought when I saw this trade is that we are getting really goddamn good at being NBA GMs. Because I remember dating back to this offseason, we were having the conversation, should the Clippers re-sign Blake Griffin? Should they max him out? And you said they should re-sign him, but only to trade him later.
Exactly.
You think that's what happened here?
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. A lot of people are putting a lot of stock into the whole, oh, when they re-signed him, they had the whole jersey thing going, like they actually mock retired his jersey, like you're gonna be a Clipper for life, whatever. So I think it was a two-parter. I think they re-signed him going in with like the idea that okay, if it works, then all right, fine, we'll roll with it. But I think their main prerogative was just to retain an asset, a major asset. Like, look, they just got Tobias Harris. He's 25. Then they get Avery Bradley, who is, he's had a rough season in Detroit, but that's the outlier. Like, he's a good player.
Yep.
And, okay, he's an unrestricted free agent, so if you're going to blow it up, then by all means, you know, let him walk. So Harris is young enough to go into a rebuild. So it just makes sense, and you get the first rounder, you get the second rounder. Why not? And okay, Boban is like the weird piece because he's owed a little bit, but I mean, you got to match salary, so he was a throw-in.
Yeah, and he just replaces Willie Reed effectively as their backup center.
Right.
I would say the big pieces, the Boban and Bryce Johnson, Willie Reed, and even the second rounder are kind of like fringe pieces on both sides. It boils down to Blake for Tobias, Bradley, and this first round pick.
Right.
Do you think the Clippers got enough for Blake Griffin?
Considering like the injury history and his $173 million contract, and the fact that that contract goes into what, his early 30s? I'm not sure. I mean, he's 20. I'm not sure if he's 28 or 29 right now. He's 28. He's almost about to turn 29. So that contract is going to really go into his like 33 season. I think that's probably not the best point to pay him almost $39 million.
Right,
that's a player option, but he's gonna pick that up because he would be insane not to.
Yeah.
So when you factor that in, I think it's a decent haul. I know a lot of people disagree. They're like, oh, was that what you could get for Blake? And, you know, I get that line of thinking because Blake is Blake. I mean, at full potential, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
So, but here's my thing, though. I don't think Blake has been this superstar that we kind of painted him as over the last 4 years. Like, he hasn't been that type of guy who's just gone, you know what, I'm gonna do everything. I'm gonna do this and this and that. Mm-hmm. Like, he improved as a playmaker. He improved as a defender. He's improved as a shooter. That's all fine. But do you see him, like, as an A-plus type of guy?
No, I do not.
Right.
It kind of speaks to the problem that I think a lot of teams are going to run into, where now max contracts are so huge that if you're, you know, back in 2016, when guys like Harrison Barnes got a max deal, it was like the conventional wisdom said, if you were an X caliber player, if you're, you know, not even health, Harrison Barnes isn't a top 25 player, but it used to be, if you're a top 20 to 25 player, you got a max deal. That's the end of it.
Right.
Now they're so big that it seems like they're going to have to start becoming more exclusive again. You know, we saw it starting to happen last summer where Kyle Lowry thought he was going to get a max. That never happened. Paul Millsap seemed like he might get a max. That never happened. I'm wondering if the same thing's going to happen with DeAndre Jordan this summer.
George Hill. I mean, George Hill was, he maybe not a max, but like, he was disappointed in signing for $20 million a year.
Right. Which, you know, a couple of years ago was a max deal.
Right.
Like, so I'm right with you in thinking the Clippers, I think you're right. You know, I think ultimately your suspicions this summer were right. They had to re-sign him so they don't lose him for nothing. But I don't think they ever intended on paying the back end of that contract.
No, I don't think so either. What they did was buy themselves a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris.
Right.
This was their free agent acquisition.
Yeah. Which is, you know, so how do you like the fit with Tobias Harris and DeAndre Jordan?
Well, is that even relevant? Because DeAndre Jordan isn't going to be on the roster for more than, what, a week?
Fair, yeah. So Woj did say Los Angeles will continue to discuss dealing Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan. Here's the part that I don't understand about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm quoting Woj. With a plan to focus on young players and draft picks while competing for a playoff spot this season. That's not how it works. You choose one or the other.
Right. He was a little bit weird. He followed, you know, the first one up with that. The thing you just quoted there. I'm not sure what they want. Apparently, this deal has been talked about for 6 days. And which also goes against, like, conventional trading patterns. Usually, you have communication for months. And if you're trading a guy like Blake Griffin, who has been such a cornerstone for your franchise, 6 days. Yeah. I think they've been... Maybe not the Pistons for 6 months, but I think they've been taking calls and talking to people for much longer than 6 days.
The Clippers have, you mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Right. And in regards to DeAndre and I mean, look, they want out of that contract because he's going to opt in. The free agent market is slim. He knows that. He knows that he's not going to go out this year and get a max deal or anything close to it. So he might as well opt into what, 20, was it 24 million?
Yeah, 24.1, I believe.
24.1. And then hit the free agent market next year where money might be a little bit more available. Mm-hmm. Just makes sense. It's common business. So I'm just glad that they kind of picked a path, sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, not, like you just said, they were trying to compete while rebuilding, but they're really not. They're blowing it up and trying to be professional about it.
Like, yeah.
I mean, if they get offers in for DeAndre or for Lou Williams that include a pick, they're going to be like, yeah, yes, please. Of course. We'll take it immediately.
Yeah. I mean, Lou, they've been long rumored to want a first-round pick for, and the fact that he's been playing so well in the past.
He's first-round pick fodder.
Remember? Yeah, like, right. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, because it right, that's true. He got the Lakers got a first round for him last year. He had a year and a half left on his deal, so it's a slightly different scenario this time, but he's playing better this year than he was last year. So
was that the one that turned into Kyle Kuzma, by the way?
I believe so. Or no, where it might have been the one that No, I think the one that no, that was the one they got from Brooklyn, I believe.
Yeah, okay, so traded by the Los Angeles Lakers to the Houston Rockets for Corey Brewer and a 2017 first-round draft pick. Tony Bradley was later selected.
Oh, okay.
And he was, yeah, he was traded. All right.
Yeah, okay.
That would have been sweet, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did they did ultimately trade for Kuzma, just in a different
That's
deal.
True.
But yeah, I mean, now you have to wonder, I mean, DeAndre Jordan's been linked to the Cavs, to the Bucks that we've talked about before. I think if the Cavs included that Brooklyn pick, that deal's done tomorrow. But
it's done right now.
Yeah, right. Well, the league office is closed now.
That's true. That's true.
But yes, it would be done very quickly.
Yeah.
It's just I'm with you. I like that the Clippers chose a path. I feel like they were going to be forced to this summer either way, given the DeAndre situation. And I forget who reported. It was Shams, right? A couple weeks ago, who said that the Clippers were in extension talks with Lou Williams.
Yeah,
my and all of us were like, "What? Yeah. Why? Like, what are you doing? You lost Chris Paul. It was the end of the Big Three era. It's time to move on." So I like that. I don't totally hate this deal from the Clippers side.
No, me neither.
It was the shock value at first. Definitely makes it seem like that's all you got for Blake Griffin, but it's not a that's all you got for Blake Griffin. It's you got out of paying Blake Griffin $39 million in his age 32, 33 season.
Yeah. What I'm nervous about, though, if I'm LA, is Avery Bradley suddenly becoming like Boston Celtics, the Boston Celtics version of himself again.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would hurt their own draft pick.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the thing with me. Because when he's on, and he's really good. He's one of the best shooting guards out there.
Right. But he's been awful this year.
He's been awful, but I wonder if it's because he didn't feed off of Isaiah Thomas or another high-scoring guard. Mm-hmm. Now he's coming to L.A. where Lou Williams is.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a guy. Right, at least for the next week. Oh, right. I think Lou should probably be an easier trade than DeAndre.
Yeah,
because of the smaller contract. Yeah, right. So that's a fair point. He's obviously going. Okay, so if Luke goes, then yeah, he's probably gonna. You know, Avery Bradley is probably gonna keep sucking.
But I mean, the Clippers are so depleted in their backcourt right now. Patrick Beverley's out for the year. Austin Rivers is still hurt. He's gonna have the opportunity to come in and play huge minutes. So yeah, I mean maybe. It's always tough for these midseason acquisitions to really, catch fire right away. So, he might struggle, and that right. just might be the worst way to have your contract year and enter your free agency. But there is a chance that, yeah, as you said, he starts looking like the Boston version of himself, and maybe it would hurt their draft pick. Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm kind of wondering is, now that his Clippers tenure has ended, why did Bryce Johnson never really get a shot?
Because Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I think so. He was awesome at UNC that last year. In his senior season, he led the NCAA in PER. He had, a 33-point-something PER in college. Mm-hmm. That's damn good. That's a guy who can produce. So I kind of think maybe Detroit snuck in something good there.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to go all Donovan Mitchell on it, but...
Right.
I mean, I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised to see Bryce suddenly get a little bit more minutes, and then when you box score surf, you kind of see him sticking out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That said, Stan Van Gundy also tends to have a very short leash for young players, so he may just be...
he's 23.
Still pretty young. Look at Stanley Johnson.
He came in after his freshman season, right?
I believe so.
Right. But Bryce, this is in the second year and came off a full 4-year tenure at UNC. So I think maybe. We'll see.
It's definitely possible. I'm not ruling out the possibility. It would be very interesting. Do you want to talk about the Detroit side, or do you have more thoughts about the Clippers?
Man, I want to talk about Blake and Andre Drummond going. Yeah. See, I have to, you know, get used to saying Blake and Andre and not Blake and DeAndre.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is going to be like when you call your wife something weird in bed, because at some point Blake is definitely going to call Andre DeAndre, and it's going to be awkward.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Okay, but both guys are now playmakers, which is weird to say, because just a year ago or just 6 months ago, that was not a word we would attach to Drummond at all.
Right.
But both are really good playmakers, so they can kind of set each other up. But I want Blake to sort of be this guy who gets the ball in his hands a lot more and makes plays for others, in particular Drummond, because when I'm looking at Andre Drummond and I'm seeing this 14.7 points a game, I'm just going, no, that should be higher. You need to have someone else like pick it up for him, like, you know, assist him, get him going offensively, give him some alley-oops or collapse something. And with Blake being able to now shoot the three ball, I think teams would allow him to get more space to dribble. Mm-hmm. Like, they would have to close out on him pretty hard, because he's not getting that shot just wide open anymore. People are contesting it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be... I think the fact that they've struggled so much with Reggie Jackson hurt probably led them to... You know, I figured they were going to try to upgrade somehow at the trade deadline and ideally bring in, I thought, probably a point guard, but I guess a playmaker of any sort will do. And getting a guy like Blake, like, now the Clippers have one of the better passing front courts in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Pistons have one of the...
Right.
That's going to be the weird one to say. Blake Griffin is not a Clipper anymore. But, yeah, I mean, maybe while, you know, it doesn't sound like Jackson is all that close to returning, you may be still a couple weeks away. So
yeah,
the Pistons probably see their playoff seeding slipping before their eyes. They are three games behind the Philadelphia Sixers for the last spot in the East right now. So they probably figured, you know, they're on an 8-game losing streak. If they slipped any further, the season might be past the point of no return. So it's kind of now or never.
Right.
I mean, I like the move conceptually, in terms, like, I like the idea of a Blake Drummond pairing somewhat, but I have the same concerns that I did with DeAndre Jordan and Blake, but not to the same degree, because Drummond is, now that he's a better playmaker, he at least has that over DeAndre Jordan, but you're still paying two guys on mammoth max deals. You're very cap restricted moving forward if you're the Pistons.
Seems everyone is going the Pelicans way now, huh?
The two bigs. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the Pelicans in our next episode.
True. Here's the thing, though. There's a silver lining also to trading. Well, obviously not having Avery Bradley on the roster anymore is good enough for Pistons fans. A lot of Pistons fans were not happy with Bradley, which is understandable. He's been bad this year. I think it's the outlier.
But who do they replace him with?
Luke Kennard, man.
I get. Do you think he's ready to play major minutes for a potential playoff team?
I think he is. He looks good. Mm. He was one of the best pick and roll players coming out of Duke.
Yeah.
So he's capable with the ball in his hands. He's shooting 43% from downtown so far. So he can stroke it. Teams respect his J. I kind of like that mix up a little bit.
I know.
Giving him the ball in the hands a little bit more.
Duncan Smith of The Athletic and of B-Ball Breakdown has been tweeting. You know, he's one of the tweet stormers out there. And he always tweets the on-off splits with Avery Bradley and with Luke Kennard. And Kennard's were far better,
which,
you know, part of it is probably Bradley was playing with the starters. The starters have struggled since Jackson went down. Kennard was feasting on backups. I agree. He's probably the guy who slides into the starting lineup. But, you know, that's a significant loss of wing depth for the Pistons. Like, they got three big men back. They did not get, you know, they lost an Avery. They were starting two guard and did not get anyone back to replace him. So,
you've got follow-up trade, maybe?
I guess so. I mean, Reggie Bullock's been okay this year. Stanley Johnson, we mentioned him earlier. You know, he's spent most of his 3 years in the NBA in Stan Van Gundy's doghouse.
Mm-hmm.
Langston Galloway, I guess. But there isn't a clear... I mean, I guess you're right. Kennard's probably the clear-cut option to start in Bradley's place.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they can survive. You know, they lost two starters now. And the Griffin replaces one of them. But is the upgrade... Is Griffin enough of an upgrade to have no drop-off from losing Bradley, even though Bradley's...
Well, that's the hope. Like, they did a Kyrie thing here.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Right.
Where they just kind of put a guy in there going, you know what? In this system, he can do a lot more. That's at least... That's what I assume their thinking is. Because why bother otherwise?
Right.
Well... No, but, like, that's not to crap on Blake, but, like, he's a good player. Mm-hmm. Obviously, and when he's at his best, he's an all-star caliber, but at his current production and with that contract, like, you would have to hope for something more.
Yeah. I mean, this trade makes me more nervous, strangely, for the Pistons than it does for the Clippers. And it might just be I learned my lesson from this summer where all of these teams traded big-name stars, you know, like, Chicago traded Jimmy Butler, Indiana traded Paul George, and we looked at the returns at the time, and they all looked underwhelming, and we all said, that's all you got? And now, 7 months later, it's like, oh, okay. You know, the Chicago trade, both sides, I think you can say, have done well. And the same with the Indiana trade. But I don't think this is a lopsided, like, what the hell are you doing, Clippers trade? And in the same vein, I think I can understand why the Pistons did this, especially with Stan Van Gundy. You know, they entered the season with playoff expectations. He might be fighting for... I don't think they would fire him as both the head coach and in charge of personnel, but, like, he might be fighting for that personnel control right now. Like, if that team continues to struggle, they might decide... You can't do both roles. You need to just focus on head coaching. We'll bring in someone else to take care of the day-to-day operations.
Yeah.
So this might have been his last gasp or, like, his last hurrah. And it's a big one. But, you know, I could very easily see the set of circumstances where this backfires and the Pistons are stuck in just absolute purgatory.
I keep thinking back to the movie Draft Day with Kevin Costner, where the owner is standing there going, we need a splash. We just need a splash. This was a splash. This was like a last-ditch splash. I'm always more inclined when making a splash to go in a different direction and getting a guy who's just that expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Blake right now is young enough still, at least for the time being, to be a potential superstar again.
Yeah.
So you're buying this off of hope, which is always frightening and not always the best thing to do. But there's always the possibility of it actually panning out. And if it does, he's going to look like a genius and he can write his own check again.
Yeah. Do you think this move, like, I think short term, you could argue this move helps the Pistons. They're probably going to be, you know, at least if they don't push the Sixers out of the playoffs, they're going to snap this 8-game losing streak sooner than later. They're going to be
They're going to be better. Yeah.
Long term, how do you feel about the Pistons now?
Well, I'm kind of nervous because they traded their best long-range shooter. Actually, they're potentially two best. Oh, no, because Kennard and, yeah, okay. But Avery Bradley wasn't a bad three-point shooter for him, though.
Right.
So the spacing issue is something they'll have to fix. And if they don't, which it seems to me like spacing has been an issue in Detroit for what, years?
Forever.
Years and years.
Yeah.
Yeah, for so many years. So if they don't fix that, it's just whatever. I mean, that then they're just going to stay where they're at, maybe just plus five games in the win column, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. Like, they will have a clear ceiling. But surround Blake and Andre and Reggie Jackson's with the right kind of shooters, and who knows? I kind of like what that team could become.
Yeah.
But it's all about who you put around these guys.
Right.
And that's something that Stan has not shown so far, like the ability to put the right players around guys. Like, he did it once in Orlando with Dwight, and they made the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's about it, really. Like, he did not... He hasn't succeeded in doing it with Drummond once.
Right. I mean, and he's not... You know, in all likelihood, that draft pick is going this year. It's only protected 1 through 4, even if...
Oh, it is.
Yeah, like, even if the Pistons struggle with Blake in the lineup, or even if Blake gets hurt, like, they're not going to fall so far unless they, you know, are... If they miss
the
playoffs.
Top three.
Yeah, and, like, just totally luck out, maybe. But you have to assume that pick is going. So they're not going to have their first-round pick to improve. I believe they're going to be way over the salary cap, so they're only going to have the mid-level exception at their disposal. So they don't really have viable means to upgrade now. Like, they're basically locked into this roster of Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, and what else they have right now. Like, Kennard,
they're going to have to trade.
Yeah, but who do they have to trade?
Right. Stanley Johnson, I guess, but his value is just not that big.
And if you're trading Stanley Johnson, you're either acknowledging... I mean, you could just be saying, you know what, we missed with that pick a couple of years ago. We don't think he's going to turn into the player that we thought he would.
Right.
But you're also running the risk of, like, if this Blake Griffin experiment goes up in flames, Stanley Johnson, in theory, could be one of your younger cornerstones moving forward. But I guess you're not going to have the money for him, so...
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, you love Stanley Johnson. I see the intrigue. I get that. But we're still talking about a guy who is yet to crack 38% from the field in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that there are coaching issues here. Him not getting a quote-unquote, you know, earned, you know, a spot, a steady spot to develop. But let's not lose sight of the fact that he's averaged almost 22 minutes a game for his career. Like, it's not as if he's getting, like, 8 or 9 minutes a game. He's been given chances, and he hasn't been able to convert, at least offensively. Like, it's the defensive potential that's intriguing.
Right.
But if you move him now, like, at the deadline to acquire more shooting... Yeah, you risk him becoming something else outside of Detroit. That's always that's a risk you got to take, I think, if you go for it now with Blake, which you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because are we absolutely certain Stanley's going to be good?
No, absolutely not. You're gambling on it, but...
Right.
I guess the problem for the Pistons is that even if he turns his career around... He'll be a restricted free agent, not this summer, but next summer.
Yeah.
And again, you've got, you know, what, $60+ million committed to Blake and Drummond alone?
Right.
And then Reggie Jackson's about, you know, a little less than 20. That's 80-ish% of your cap for 3 players. You're either going to go way into the luxury tax to re-sign Stanley Johnson. You know, I don't think he's going to get a max deal by any means, but... He could get something like what Robert Covington did, or even less, but, you know, somewhere in the ballpark.
Definitely less. Yeah.
Yeah. But somewhere in the ballpark of like $6 to $8 million a year. That's like, this just puts them in such a precarious cap situation. It goes back to just our general reservations about the head coach GM dual role. Because, like, you know, I think Stan Van Gundy's feeling the pressure to make the playoffs. So oh, yeah. This is a move. This is a win now move, but at what cost?
Like, it's a good question.
I don't see how the Pistons improve from here. Unless you're right. I mean, I think a Stanley Johnson trade is the next logical step, but
it would have to be almost, right? Maybe even followed up by Henry Ellenson.
Yeah. Oh man. And then you're selling the farm at that point.
Yeah. But like, if you're not going to play him, well, okay. So Stanley Johnson got a chance, but like Henry Ellenson has not been given a chance at all. He's 21 now.
Right.
Like, I mean, some point you got to give these kids the time to shine and see what they got. But if you don't, then you might as well trade them while they have, I suspect, some potential left in the eyes of other teams. Like, I'm not sure. Maybe teams look at Henry Ellison and go, you know what? I'm not going to pay more than the second rounder for this guy because he hasn't seen the court in 2 years and we don't know what he is. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I couldn't blame them for it, because if you lack that sort of data, like, you'd be gambling yourself. But yeah, I'm not sure. The follow-up move is tricky, especially because of the, as you mentioned, the financial restraints.
And you're, I mean, like, so you've got, I mentioned earlier, Blake Griffin Drummond are making 60-ish million dollars. Jackson, again, you know, north of 15, less than 20. You also have John Luehr at about 10 million a year.
Oh yeah, that's a killer. Yeah.
You have Langston Galloway at about 7 million a year. Ish Smith at 6 million a year through next year. They're still paying Josh Smith $5 million a year through 2019-2020.
See, this is why I'm against the whole Luol Deng thing.
The whole like wave and stretch him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I mean like extend his contract and stretch
him. Extend and wave, yeah.
Yeah. I just don't see where the Pistons go from here.
Yeah, you see them be capped now.
Yeah, I just think they're stuck. I think, like, I don't know who's giving you anything for John Luehr on $10 million a year.
No, you're right. You're right. It's interesting. I think, again, it's Blake Griffin, though. You know, if that guy needed a change of scenery, which I also think he did, let's be honest. I mean, the whole intrigue and, or not intrigue, but all the drama surrounding LA and, you know, him getting to like a blue collar city, it might actually work out. What if he just completely owns from here on out? Like, he just goes, you know what? I needed this and I'm going to be the 25-10-5 guy that I always wanted to be.
Yeah. It's I mean, we saw it with DeMarcus Cousins and New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like, and he turned into literally a 25-10-5 guy this year. Yeah. To Blake's credit, he now has 3-point range. He's, you know, not shooting particularly well, but he took almost 6 threes a game and with the Clippers. I mean, he's averaging about 23-8-5 this year.
Yep.
I have no reservations about the short-term fit of this. It's just, I'm looking a couple years down the road and I'm wondering where they go. But for now, I'm super excited. Like, I think it's going to be really fun to watch Pistons games, which it hasn't been since early this season.
You finally get someone who can dunk.
Yeah. So any final thoughts from either side on this trade, Mort?
Just that trade deadline is probably going to be a little bit boring now, because this was, I would argue this is probably the biggest trade. I would be a little bit surprised.
I mean, this one came out of, so this one came so far out of left field that you're probably right. I mean, you're not going to get another, you know, player of Blake Griffin's caliber traded. That said, it sounds like the Clippers are very willing, if not, you know, planning on trading Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan. So especially if Jordan goes, that's another big name to move at the deadline. Like, I wrote a thing for FanSided last week where I wrote about 20 players who might get traded, and Blake Griffin was not included because he wasn't popping up in any rumors. So
yeah,
it's always possible. You know, Woj said, and you mentioned earlier, this trade came, like, started coming to fruition 6 days ago. That's about true. A week and a half from the deadline, so there's still a lot of time, but yeah, this is probably the biggest name to be moved. But I kind of wonder. Biggest name,
right.
I wonder if this, like, kind of opens the floodgates. And now teams are like, oh, shit, all right.
Bye, Kemba.
Yeah, right? I mean.
Yeah. No, that's right.
In our next episode, we'll talk about all of the bad injury news that we got over the weekend. But you know, there are now at least two teams that are probably going to be buyers on the trade market that may not have been planning on doing so before.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll be back. We're going to record another episode tomorrow discussing all of the bad injury news, DeMarcus Cousins, Andre Roberson, etc. But
in 17 hours, Brian.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was totally brutal. So
yeah.
At least we had a fun trade to shake up our Monday night.
Yep.
So thank you for those who tuned into our emergency pod. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. You can find our bios in our Twitter handle, or our Twitter handles in our bio. Second time. So give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes. So please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We would love any feedback. And we're being hosted on FanRag Sports. So check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FRS Hoops with a Z. Joining me, as always, was my very sleepy co-host, Morten Jensen. Mort, thank you for joining at 2 a.m. your time. Please go get some sleep. Rest up for tomorrow.
I appreciate it. It's almost 3 now. So that's what I meant by the 17 hours. We'll talk in 17 hours.
Deal.
So I just need to go sleep first and do a whole bunch of things first. Yeah.
Yeah. Go adult. Go adult. Yeah. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it, to my son waking me up at 6, which is 3 hours away. This is great.
God. Godspeed, my friend.
Take care, man.